This is part two of lesson seven on the Sabbath day. And the first question I want to start with is in regard to keeping the Sabbath. Should we say, as some do about all the commandments, that it is impossible and therefore we need not keep it? A lot of people teach that and believe that, but that's not what Yahweh says. In Deuteronomy 30, verses 11 through 14, we read, "For this commandment which I command you today is not too mysterious for you, nor is it far off. It is not in heaven that you should say, 'Who will ascend into heaven for us and bring it to us, that we may hear it and do it?' Nor is it beyond the sea that you should say, 'Who will go over the sea for us and bring it to us, that we might hear it and do it?' But the word is very near you, in your mouth and in your heart, that you may do it." In order for Yahweh's instructions to be in our mouths, we would have to have been tutored in his ways so that we can speak his truth. For the law to be in our hearts, we would be drawn to our Heavenly Father and to his Son with tears, as one would be to a long-lost family member. We want his law to be in our mouths. We want to know your truth, Father. We want to understand your ways. And we want you to be in our heart, that we might love you and that we might love others as you love us. Luke 17, 21 and 22, and 20 and 21. "Now, when he was asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of Yahweh would come, he answered them and said, 'The kingdom of Yahweh does not come with observation.'" Now, I've always wondered about that word, with observation. I mean, do we need to wait until we see the new Jerusalem coming down? Is that what he's saying? No, as it turns out, the word observation there is the Greek word peritoresios, which means to keep or detain as a possession. And apparently he saw the Pharisees as holding on to the kingdom of Yahweh, as it were, holding on to it and not sharing it. I mean, they were to be a light to the world, but apparently he's seeing them as hiding it from the world. In verse 21, "Nor will they say, 'See here or see there, for indeed the kingdom of Yahweh is within you.'" It would be in your mouth and in your heart. Isaiah 58, verse 13. "If," which is a conditional beginning to a statement, "if you turn away your foot from the Sabbath." Now, idiomatically, it means if you stop trampling my Sabbath. And then he explains what he means in more detail. "From doing your pleasure on my holy day, and instead call the Sabbath a delight, the holy day of Yahweh honorable, and shall honor him by doing so, not doing your own ways, not finding your own pleasure, nor speaking your own words." And then verse 14, "then," which is the conclusion of this conditional statement, "then you shall delight in Yahweh, and I will cause you to ride on the high places of the earth and feed you with the heritage of Jacob, your father. The mouth of Yahweh has spoken." Notice the conditional nature of Yahweh's blessings. "If you obey me, then I will bless you." And the phrase "to ride on the high places of the earth," I've always tried to imagine what that looks like. It means to conquer, to rule over the powers of evil in places of false worship. That's what to ride on the high hill, the high places of the earth. It means to conquer, basically, to conquer evil. As prophesied in Revelation 2, verses 25 to 27. But hold fast what you have till I come. And he who overcomes and keeps my works, in other words, those of you who do what I am doing, obeying the Sabbath, loving your neighbor, loving Yahweh, who keeps my works until the end, to him I will give power over the nations. He shall rule them with a rod of iron, and they shall be dashed to pieces like the potter's vessels. So is it impossible to overcome the temptations of this world? Are we capable of doing that? Well, no. But, as it reads in Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Messiah who strengthens me. Is the seventh day of the week, which we call Saturday, the day Yahweh has set apart from creation? And is it a memorial of his omnipotent creative power? Genesis 2, verses 1 through 3. Thus the heavens and the earth and all the host of them were finished. And on the seventh day, Elohim ended his work which he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had done. Then Elohim blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because in it he rested from all his work which Elohim had created and made. I recently read a treatise about how the Sabbath day is no longer the day of Yahweh. And they go to this verse specifically and say, well, it was that day that he blessed and set apart, completely ignoring everything else written in Scripture that points back to that time as the day that we need to keep as a day of rest. It just boggles the mind as to how people can make up something and then, you know, that is completely unsupported and then believe that and teach it. And today we have 2 billion people who profess to be believers in the Messiah and to walk as he walked, but they don't keep the Sabbath. They don't keep the feast days of Yahweh. I just don't understand. By participating in the seventh-day Sabbath, do we express our belief in Yahshua as the creator and as the author and finisher of our salvation? Let's take a look at Hebrews 12, verses 1 and 2. Therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us also lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Fixing our eyes on Yahshua, the author and perfecter of faith. So where does our faith come from? It comes from Yahshua. It comes from the Spirit of Yahweh. He's the one who gives us that faith. We should, I mean, how glorious is that? How privileged are we to have the faith in Yahshua and to walk in his ways? It floors me. I don't understand that either. We have a great cloud of witnesses surrounding us. Let us also lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Fixing your eyes on Yahshua, the author and perfecter of faith, who for the joy set before him endured the staros, the stake, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of Yahweh. Yahshua is the author of faith, being the living word of Yahweh, having created the universe by speaking it into existence. He is the perfecter or finisher of faith by taking our stripes and dying our death, that we might accept him as our Redeemer and thus enter into the land of our inheritance in the kingdom of Yahweh. We will see how honoring the Sabbath of Yahweh is ultimately tied to our salvation and our redemption. Is the Sabbath rest a symbol of our love, loyalty, and commitment to Yahweh? Exodus 31, verses 12 to 14. And Yahweh spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak also to the children of Israel, saying, surely my Sabbaths you shall keep." This is plural, implying not just the weekly Sabbath, but all of the high Sabbaths and the holy convocations that Yahweh has set before us. "Surely my Sabbath you shall keep, for it is a sign between me and you throughout your generations, that you may know that I am Yahweh who sanctifies you. You shall keep the Sabbath, therefore, for it is holy to you. Everyone who profanes it shall surely be put to death. For whoever does any work on it, that person shall be cut off from among his people." I mean, I'm astounded. I mean, it's hard for me to absorb this. And I trust in the long-suffering of Yahweh, that those who teach against the Sabbath will someday wake up, will someday have their eyes opened by Yahweh. I have a hard time imagining everyone that I know who does not honor the Sabbath as dying. I just have a hard time with that. But that's what the scripture says, and we better adhere to that and understand. Moving on in Exodus 31, 15 through 17. "Work shall be done for 6 days, but the seventh is the Sabbath of rest, holy to Yahweh. Whoever does any work on the Sabbath day, he shall surely be put to death." Two witnesses from the mouth of Yahweh. "Therefore the children of Israel shall keep the Sabbath, to observe the Sabbath throughout their generations as a perpetual covenant." That means it is not going to change. It's perpetual. And repeating it again, he says, "It is a sign between me and the children of Israel until 1970. No, and forever. "For in 6 days Yahweh made the heavens and the earth, and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed." And finally, verse 18. "And when he had made an end of speaking with him on Mount Sinai, he gave Moses 2 tablets of the testimony, tablets of stone, written with the finger of Elohim." We're on question number 2 in our Bible correspondence course. Reads, "Is the seventh day Sabbath holy, a day of rest, which also points toward a greater millennial rest of salvation?" Exodus 20, verses 8 through 11. Now, this is the section in the book of Exodus pertaining to the seventh day, Sabbath. "Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy." And we've talked about this before. Remember means not just to call to mind and be able to reference it, but to speak and act in behalf of the Sabbath, to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of Yahweh, your Elohim. It's not the Sabbath of the Jews. The Jews honor that day, but it's not their Sabbath. It belongs to Yahweh, the creator of the universe. "In it you shall do no work, you nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your male servant, nor your female servant, nor your cattle, nor your stranger who is within your gates. For in 6 days Yahweh made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day." This is creation, is what Yahweh is speaking to us, that we honor the Sabbath day because he created the heavens and the earth. "Therefore Yahweh blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it." In Matthew 11, verses 28 to 30, we read, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." Rest for your souls. "For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." When he says rest for your souls, I don't think he's just speaking of momentary sense of peace, but I think that he's speaking about our souls, which can be put to death, but can be made alive. He's speaking of the seventh day, seventh millennium, rest for his people, for Israel. In Luke 4, 16 through 19, we read, "So he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. And he was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, 'The Spirit of Yahweh is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the evangel, the good news, to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of Yahweh.'" Now, when I've read that before without any understanding, I had no idea what that means. The acceptable year. Okay, what does that mean? Well, verses 18 and 19 were taken directly from Isaiah 61, verses 1 and the first part of verse 2. And the Hebrew word for acceptable there in Isaiah is the Hebrew word ratzah, which means to be pleased with, but specifically, it means to satisfy a debt. Okay? You know what it's like when you've satisfied a debt, pay the last payment on some debt. That's the word there, that type of satisfaction is that word acceptable. The acceptable year of Yahweh is when a debt is paid in full. This is a reference to Deuteronomy 31, verse 10, speaking of the seventh year sabbatical, a release of debt every 7 years on the Day of Atonement. Release in Hebrew is the Hebrew word shamata, meaning a release of debt incurred against an inherited piece of land. For example, an Israelite who inherited land given to him by Yahweh, but sold in order to survive a hardship of some sort, is now released from that debt and has been redeemed by Yahweh. And that person who was given that land can go back to the land of his inheritance. It has been redeemed. Physically, the sabbatical year is about the land of Israel. And spiritually, it is about Israel, that is, the elect of Yahweh. Yahweh, through the work of his son Yahshua, is our redeemer, paying the price for the release of the debt we owe due to sin. This is the true evangel, taught in Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, and pointed to throughout Scripture. It is the year of the Jubilee, a day upon which the Messiah will return to redeem Israel and lead us, back into the land of inheritance. This is the time of the great Exodus, when the house of Israel and the house of Judah will be reunited and saved, redeemed. There will be one king and one shepherd, one people, one law, and one faith. and they shall never be divided again. This is the good news, the evangel of Yahweh. Yahshua, by proclaiming the acceptable year of Yahweh in Luke 4:19, is proclaiming a jubilee year, and he is pointing to the time of his return on another jubilee year when this prophecy will be fulfilled. And he makes this clear in the next two verses in Luke, verses 20 and 21. Then he closed the book, or rolled up the scroll, whatever it might be, and gave it back to the attendant and sat down. And the eyes of all who were in the synagogue were fixed on him. And he began to say to them, "Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." In our mini study called Prophetic Truths and Sabbaticals and Jubilees, we find that the next jubilee will be the year 2037-2038. But don't hold your breath. There is much debate among scholars about when jubilees and even sabbatical years have taken place. Yahweh knows. Our focus should be on enduring each day to keep the commandments of Yahweh and follow his Messiah, Yahshua, on that narrow way. As with the creation message taught in the Sabbath commandment found in Exodus 20, verses 8 through 11, let us not forget the salvational message taught in the Sabbath commandment found in Deuteronomy 5, verses 12 through 14, which reads, "Observe the Sabbath day to keep it holy, as Yahweh your Elohim commanded you. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of Yahweh your Elohim. In it you shall do no work, you nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your male servant, nor your female servant, nor your ox, nor your donkey, nor any of your cattle, nor your stranger who is within your gates, that your male servant and your female servant may rest as well as you." And then here is the part about salvation in verse 15. "And remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and Yahweh your Elohim brought you out from there by a mighty hand and by an outstretched arm. Therefore, Yahweh your Elohim commanded you to keep the Sabbath day." And if you recall from our previous discussion, Yahshua is the creator, he's also our redeemer, and the Sabbath day is about the Messiah. There's so much solid information, there's so many pillars that support the Sabbath day that it seems unfathomable that we can look to some other day as the day of worship. Hebrews 4, verses 1 through 3. "Therefore, since a promise remains of entering his rest, let us fear lest any of you seem to have come short of it." Now, this is referring to the previous verse in Hebrews 3, 18 and 19, in which Israel did not obey Yahweh due to unbelief. Verse 2, "For indeed the evangel," which reads the word gospel in most English translations, "was preached to us as well as to them." To whom? To Israel. So the gospel was preached to Israel. It's not the sole property of the New Testament. It runs completely through the Bible. "For indeed, the evangel was preached to us as well as to them, but the word which they heard did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in those who heard it. For we who have believed do enter that rest, as he has said, 'So I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest,' although the works were finished from the foundation of the world." Verses 4 through 7 of Hebrews 4. "For he has spoken in a certain place of the seventh day in this way, 'And Elohim rested on the seventh day from all his works.' And again in this place, 'They shall not enter my rest.' Since therefore it remains that some must enter it, And those to whom it was first preached did not enter because of disobedience. Again, he designates a certain day, saying in David, today, after such a long time, as it has been said, today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. It's very interesting and I would say faith building to understand the way of Yahweh, to understand how he has set this up for his purposes, for to bring Israel back into the fold. But in this verse here, what is really important is today, to make up our minds today, to keep the instruction of Yahweh, to keep his Torah. The writer of Hebrews stated, for indeed the evangel, or gospel, was preached to us as well as to them. The evangel of Messiah was taught to Israel? But of course, Yahweh gave Israel his feast days. Okay, many people think in terms of the gospel, and it being the fact that the Messiah died for our sins, and that anyone who wants to be in the fold just has to believe. Well, that's not true. Because the evangel has been taught throughout the scripture. And it was taught specifically at Mount Sinai. How? When was the Messiah mentioned at Mount Sinai? Well, Yahweh gave Israel his feast days, all of which point to Yahshua Messiah, the salvation of Yahweh. At this present time, it stands that Yahshua fulfilled the appointed times of Passover, unleavened bread, the sheaf wave offering, and Pentecost. He shed his blood that we might live eternally. He took away or covered our sins, provided we continue in belief and obedience. He was resurrected and ascended to his Father, Yahweh, to receive his eternal body, and he granted a portion of the Spirit of Yahweh to help us in our obedience to the law of Yahweh. He will return to continue his battle against evil, to gather Israel, to lead them into his 1,000-year reign upon the earth, put away all evil, and restore the earth to its pristine glory. Where is that written? It's written in the appointed times of Yahweh, given to Israel at Mount Sinai. Galatians 3:8-9. And the scripture, and at this time, what scripture is this referring to? It's referring to the Torah, the prophets, and the writings. And the scripture, foreseeing that Yahweh would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the evangel to Abraham beforehand, saying, in you all the nations shall be blessed. So then, those who are of faith are blessed with believing Abraham. Is that amazing or not? that what people typically believe is simply a New Testament idea was preached to Abraham, to Moses, and to us. Will the Sabbath exist at the end of the age? In Matthew 24:20-22. And pray that your flight, and this is referring to previous verses that talk about the flight from the abomination of desolation, standing in the holy place, and referenced in Daniel 11:31 and Daniel 12:11. And pray that your flight may not be in winter or on the Sabbath, for then there will be great tribulation such as not been since the beginning of the world until this time, no, nor ever shall be. And unless those days were shortened, no flesh would be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days will be shortened. So when Matthew is speaking, actually, in the book of Matthew, as Joshua is speaking about the Sabbath day, Is he speaking of Sunday or is he speaking of Friday? No, he's speaking of the Sabbath day, the seventh day Sabbath. And it will be in the end of days at the time of the abomination of desolation. It should be clear that the evangel of Yahweh, the evangel of Yahshua and the kingdom of Yahweh is not limited to the New Testament. It has existed and has been taught from the beginning in the form of the word of Yahweh, who was with Yahweh, who was Yahshua, the Messiah. Revelation 1, verses 5 through 8. To him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and has made us kings and priests to his Elohim and Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Behold, he is coming with clouds, and every eye will see him, even they who pierced him. And all the tribes of the earth will mourn because of him. Even so, amen. I am the Alpha, I am the Aleph, and the Tau. I did it again. I left the Greek in there. But Yahshua is not Greek. And it turns out that the Aleph and Tau have a tremendous meaning throughout Scripture, which we'll save for another time. I am the Aleph and the Tau, the beginning and the end, says the Master, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. Hallelujah.